Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. You're listening to Up North News.
Hey, friends. Time to spend a little time with our good pals and buddies up north. Kristen Wyerly is here. Kurt Bangstedt is here. And they're here. They're actually here.
We're here together.
Oh, fabulous. We had an extra 2 hours with you today, Pat, which shortened my sleep schedule immensely.
Well, that was you also coming very late from the airport, from your flight, where if you missed it earlier, he texted saying that he was going to be late because an unruly passenger was being hauled off his flight.
They deplaned our whole plane because this one drunk lady wouldn't get off the flight.
Mm-hmm. And I was glad you established that it was a drunk lady and that you weren't the unruly passenger.
Because we had questions.
This is something.
I have been unruly, that's for sure.
My wife and some other folks know that one of the things I used to talk about doing is combining two of my favorite things, breakfast and morning radio. And that I was going to open up a cafe, a little breakfast cafe, where I basically, there was y'all sat around an island and I was in the middle and I would cook breakfast.
These are my two of my favorite things.
Wearing the headset microphone. Hold up your headset microphone there for a second. Now, wearing one of these. Well, that's just headphones. Oh. The one with the microphone. And we would just talk. We would talk about the news and talk about politics with friends sitting around at the breakfast counter. And we'd have guests come in. And so here's my first attempt at it. I have guests.
I love this
friends.
Idea. Mm-hmm.
We had a sleepover last night, but not in the same room. But we all slept. To be clear, but Pat, we've been doing this for this is the third hour now, and I haven't. I usually have one cup of coffee in the morning, mm-hmm. and I've been just sipping your coffee for three straight hours now. I'm like all jazzed up.
Well,
that's
our
version of drinking the Kool-Aid.
Caffeinated.
This is certainly not going to bode well for our guests coming up who are running for seats in the Wisconsin legislature. But before we get to that, just a little bit more from, and Kirk, unfortunately, the way that we haven't ever done this in the kitchen before, so he's got the morning sun coming right through our front door. So those of you watching the video feed on Facebook or Twitter, he is positively angelic right now.
We all understand there's an inflated ego here anyway. Yep. So when there's a godlike halo above my head, I feel at home.
And the nice thing about being empty nesters is you have more than one guest room. And so we have accommodations upstairs and downstairs. And
you put me in the basement. Don't put baby in the corner.
I know. We put you in the basement for a reason. It worked out well, but I will admit, and I put this on social media this morning, because we talked into the wee smalls, I didn't know if they were going to show up at 8 or 9. I imagined I'd be sitting here talking to you all for 3 hours, and eventually we'd see, Kirk in one of those onesie pajamas, with the feet.
The footy pajamas.
Hood come out, looking for the coffee.
His hair all crazy.
With the backside unbuttoned by accident.
Yeah, by accident.
I don't think you want to go there,
but it actually worked out really well. We had a wonderful conversation. We got a little bit of dinner, at the edge across the river here, which Kirk was invited to, but again, drunk lady on an airplane kept him from joining us for dinner. And we just got to talk a lot more about the show, the things that we like about it, things that we would do differently. And then we had to get back to the business at hand, and that was talking about the show for today, and especially the guests that we're going to have coming up in just a few minutes here, which are a little unusual in one of the races, which we're going to get into. It's just the behavior, the Trump inspired behavior of some people is there are no words to describe what jerks people have become. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hear from one of the candidates about that and, say in the nicest way possible to anybody that might be thinking about behaving this way, get a hold of yourself, reel it in, try to be civil rather than, it seems like people are out there rooting for civil war instead, the way that they act. And you have to rise above that. You have to be better. There's nobody coming to get your guns, mm-hmm. you know, or you know, there's nobody doing, you know, abortions at birth and all of these wild things that are outright lies, but they're making people behave just terribly because they actually think they're doing the Lord's work by preventing these things that don't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's especially troubling. And it's part of why, you know, for the lawn signs that, you know, we have in our yard, I had to put up one that was kind of tongue in cheek by the Drink Responsibly people. And it just says, vote yes for Brandy Old Fashioned. You know? And there's another one that's going to go up that says, you know, the Bears still suck, you know, and it's, and I think we need more.
You need a back the vag sign.
Back the vag.
Oh, wow.
Again, there's always an adventure bringing an obstetrician gynecologist onto the radio show.
I guess you don't get bleeped out when you say that word.
We've been talking about other things as well.
There is a dump button, and Aaron knows how to use it and is not afraid to. So let's
you
not
better
test
watch
that.
Yourselves.
So when we come back, we will talk more about running for legislature. We'll get it. We'll have to talk about the bad behavior, the threats and things like that. But then we will get, of course, into the issues too. Why these two great women are running for seats to represent Northwest Wisconsin. But in the meantime, to follow everything else that we do, head over to upnorthnewswi.com or search for us on social media at upnorthnewswi. We're going to refill the coffee pod here and be back in just a couple of minutes. You're up north.
Did you know how much time we had? Because
yeah,
okay.
That's why your thing doesn't scroll. I wonder if
it does scroll. It usually scrolls.
This is one microphone he was working for him.
One shot, one opportunity. Seize everything you ever wanted. One moment that you capture. Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms.
All right. There, we had fun with it. Everybody's dancing. We're trying to put on a radio show over here, and instead I feel like we're in Detroit.
So, Pat, because we played Eminem, because we got one shot, and that's November 8th, because Governor, if we're praying Governor Evers gets reelected, but if Governor Evers gets reelected, and he loses the ability to veto dangerous legislation by a Republican majority legislature, we're in a very bad spot. And so I'm setting up what we're going to talk about this hour is we've just, Wisconsin's been through the worst gerrymander in the history of our state, to the point where Joe Biden won this state in 2020 by 20,000 votes out of 5 million people, which means generally, if we had a fair legislature, we'd have about half our representatives and senators are Democrats, half would be Republican. We're about as purple as it gets. They gerrymandered the state so badly that we are in danger of having a Republican supermajority in the state Senate and the state state assembly, which means that they could veto. Override Governor Evers' veto, and you know, and I mean, you could list probably 100 or probably 50 bills that have passed at the state level that are dangerous, silly, crazy, and like senseless that Evers has vetoed in the last 2 years.
And Michaels has vowed to sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michaels will sign the bills. And yes, it was, I think, Stephen Thorson on Twitter just yesterday reviewed over 100 of the bills that were vetoed. And yeah, just the terrible things that would happen if you had essentially minority rule in the legislature. And so working to prevent that are two of our guests, Kelly Westland and Laura Gapsky.
But we have to, before we introduce them, the reason we're having Kelly and Laura on today is because these two women are running. We have to elect them because they are running in districts that have been historically Democrat. It's like way up. It's about as up and north as you can get in up north Wisconsin. Superior, Schwamagon. Kristen's representing Schwamagon right now. These districts have been historically Democrat, and if we lose them, we might just lose that that super majority or that super minority or whatever in Congress. So I wanted to introduce Kelly. Westland's running for state Senate in that area. What do we call it? Shawangunk region. Kelly?
But it also includes Superior and goes all the way down to Rice Lake and then over to Phillips as well. So Northwestern Wisconsin, I think, encompasses it.
Northwestern Wisconsin. Yeah. Laura Gaspy's running for the assembly in this area, which is closer to Superior, the Superior Assembly District, right, Laura?
It's Superior all the way down southern from Grantsburg. So it's about 2 hours top to bottom.
Because again, once upon a time, Wisconsin legislative districts were compact and represented, contiguous regions. But when you allow one political party to rig the maps and cut them up eight ways to Sunday, you can divide up communities, you can divide up counties, you can make them look like salamanders, which is, where the word gerrymandered comes from. And that's exactly what they've done to a district like this that had been historically Democratic, but these are not easy races, for both Kelly and Laura.
So Kelly, I wanted to chat with you first. You've been doing this for a while. I got to know you when you ran for Congress against Sean Duffy a number of years ago. Can you tell us why this district has been historically Democrat and how long? I think it's like 30 years. And why now we're worried about losing this potentially? What happened during the gerrymander? What's happened in this region that this is now a race that we have to really focus on?
Sure. So this district has been in Democratic hands since, I think, 1986. If folks remember Senator Bob Jauch, he served for a long time. And then right after he did, Janet Buley, who's the minority leader currently in the state Senate. And it's, it's a large district. It's huge. It's rural. But we've got a lot of folks that care about, natural resources. It's home to several indigenous tribes. And it's a lot of that sort of old school, almost Scandinavian version of progressivism where, communities, we look out for one another. And it's been this way for a long time. However, you guys have spoken to what's at stake, right? The 2/3 majority, the supermajority, so the Republicans can override the veto. And this is one where they've been trying to chisel away at it. But this most recent change, they removed Lac de Flambeau from the district, added in more of that Western Burnett County. And so it's kind of an upside down horseshoe now that encompasses 3 assembly districts. And it happens that 2 of those assembly members are retiring, both Nick Milroy and Beth Myers. And so including the seat that Laura's running in. And the legislature, the Republicans, they only need to pick up a total of 6 seats, 1 in the Senate, 5 in the assembly. And if they can pour resources into this district like they're doing right now with the attack ads and everything else, if they can turn out their people, then potentially they could pick up 1 Senate seat and 2 assembly seats in one fell swoop, which gets them halfway there to where they need to be. And then they only need to find 3 more assembly seats out of the other 97 that are up on the ballot this year. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Thanks for kind of laying it out for us. Laura, so Nick Milroy has been serving before. Did you know how big of a race this was going to be when you decided to jump into it? I mean, all eyes are focused on both you and Kelly right now in the state of Wisconsin. All eyes that are understanding what's at stake here. Did you know this going in that this was going to be such a magnifying glass?
Was that an intentional Tupac since we were listening to Eminem earlier?
Nice. Very nice.
Okay, yes. I had somewhat of an insight to that given the previous election that Nick Milroy faced that was very, very tight. But I did not expect the new redistricting, so that made it even a larger challenge, and I am absolutely blown away by how much money has been spent by the other party in this race and the attack ads. Quickly, I learned that this was going to be a very discouraging and divisive type of election and race.
Well, let's get into the particulars of that because I really do want to focus at later on the real reasons to run, the positive reasons to run. But Laura, your campaign is noteworthy because of the deeper than even normal streak of ugliness that's been going on. So for folks that aren't aware, didn't read our story or any place else, can you give just a brief overview of the kinds of things that you've had to endure since you announced you were running for this seat?
Yeah, I've had to make 3 police reports, but that encompass like multiple different aspects of harassment or intimidation or veiled threats. This is democracy, and it's really saddening to me that these are things that I've had to do to waste our law enforcement time, in my opinion, because people can't respect the democratic process. The process that we have to elect our officials. And one of the things that saddened my heart the most is last week my son was listening to a radio station, and he actually sent me the recording. He's 12 years old, of it attacking his mom, you know, like kind of like discouraging, you know, who I am. And that's really hard for a 12-year-old to hear people saying that your mom is a terrible person. And the phone calls I've been getting, because they put my personal cell phone number on, there's been 5 attack mailers come out, my personal cell phone number and on the radio. And so I've received calls. The good thing is that they haven't all been negative. So maybe it's not working the way they wanted it to. And I have hope that people will see through these ugly lies and attacks on me. But that I literally got tears in my eyes, you know, when my son sent me that, you know, recording of, you know, just attacking his mom. That's disgusting.
And it's fine, you know, disagreeing with somebody, you can do that in an election in a perfectly civil way, but that's not the tone that's out there. Kelly, you and I have been around this block a few times. To what degree has the negative campaigning against you been more than we are used to expecting?
Well, I mean, this one hasn't been a lot more than what I expected. I've gone up against WMC before when I was on city council in Ashland, and they were trying to push forward the taconite mine up in the Pinokies. And you know what? We fought then and I won. So I will take that and continue moving forward. But this time, the money that they've poured in is mostly in radio ads and mailers. And clearly, they don't have a whole lot, because it's mostly like fear-mongering about how I gave $50 to Bernie Sanders, and so I must be trying to fund his socialist agenda, which is just ridiculous. And otherwise, it's, you know, they always find an unflattering photo to put out how I'm going to raise your taxes by trillions of dollars and change your way of life as we know it, which is crazy because, well, I guess, you know, the state budget isn't even trillions of dollars, and I don't know how a freshman legislator is in the minority party is going to be able to do that. But at least, like, when I see these, yeah, it's not great. My friends mostly show them to me and joke about it. And somehow they've gotten that I'm opposed to nuclear energy, and that's made out of thin air. I don't even know what that's about. But then I see the ones that are going after Laura, and it just makes, honestly, it doesn't like make me believe them or believe any of the things they say about her. It just enrages me to the point where it makes me want to fight back that much harder, because the way that they're treating her in that race is absolutely unacceptable. Like, that can't be the norm.
So the norm, it's become the norm. And in Wisconsin, we're supposed to be Wisconsin nice, but our politics have become a cesspool, unfortunately. And it's, you know, I think it didn't start with Trump, but it was magnified 100 times with Trump. We have legislators that are running Republican, the MAGA Republicans, like Biden calls them, because they're not all Republicans. They're election denying, anti-truth, big lie Republicans who were refusing to debate all throughout the state of Wisconsin in all these races. They're not debating because they don't want to answer the question that says, would you accept the election results if you lost? Oh, they don't want to answer the question, are you anti-abortion even in cases of rape and incest? They don't want to be in these debates because they know that the answers will mortify and horrify most Wisconsin voters. But they are willing to take money from the U-lines. They're willing to take money from Diane Hendricks to the tunes of millions of dollars to disparage Laura and to disparage Kelly, and attack and make us fear that these two, like, normal, wonderful women are somehow going to going to ruin Wisconsin, which is ridiculous. And that's why we're trying to do this show. We're trying to put a spotlight on you guys. There's 1 minute left before we go to our break. And then I want to talk about the good stuff, what you guys are running for when we come back from the break. But Kelly, finish off and say, like, how are things? I should just probably just, we got 1 minute left. Pat, lead us off. I don't want to ask another question. What do you have to add to what I just said, man?
I'm going to add that we're going to go to break here, and we'll be back with the second half of Kirk's question. Coming up in just after this little 4 minute break, you'll have 4 minutes to come up with a 30 second question. So, Kelly, Laura, stick around with us so that we can turn this back into a show, a segment about what you can do, what voters need in Northwest Wisconsin. After this, you're Up North.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Up North News for a Wednesday, October 19th, and we are talking to Laura Gafsky, Assembly candidate in the 73rd District in Northwest Wisconsin, Kelly Westland running for State Senate in the 25th District. And Kirk, we so rudely interrupted you.
No, I rudely spoke like right up until the end of the break because I don't know exactly how to do radio yet.
we'll teach you how a clock works yet. Okay. Don't you worry, pal.
Okay, sounds good. So, we talked about all the negative stuff that that has been hurled mostly at Laura so far in her race, but still with Kelly too. There's way more money than ever needs to be spent on these local, like these assembly and Senate, state Senate races being spent. But that's negative. And I mean, Kristen, don't we want to hear about why people are really running for office and what actually the issues are in Northwest, Superior, Ashland, this region that actually matter?
Yeah, Wisconsinites hate all of the negative ads. They hate all of this partisanship. Wisconsinites want to come together and they want to focus on issues and community. And that's why you're running. So tell us about some of the positive things, the good things that each of you bring to your race and will bring as a leader in your community. Laura, do you want to start?
I'll yield to the senator.
That was the right choice.
Said the senator. She's learned her words, her political yield words.
I've spent, Pat, like you said, we've known each other for a long time, and I've been engaged in some of this community stuff for a while, but former city council, and I've spent the last 7 years working for Senator Baldwin as her northern rep. And in that time, I had a chance to see like up close the things that are impacting individual constituents and small businesses and local governments. And Kristen, I'm not going to lie, when you in a break a little bit ago mentioned shared revenues, I was like, be still my heart, because like those are things that really have impacts, whether it's these levy limits and the declining shared revenues that mean that our communities, mostly northern rural communities, mm-hmm. have to cut staff or services or delay maintenance or borrow money. None of that is good stuff. But I think that it's safe to say, and I'm sure Laura hears it on the doors too, is that yes, people are tired of the divisiveness and just like the vitriolic kind of state of our politics right now. And pretty much everybody wants good schools, fully funded public schools. They want decent infrastructure, roads that you can drive on safely, drinking water that's safe to drink. They want broadband access regardless of where they live. They want affordable health care in their community. I can't tell you how many people this far north have to drive hours and hours just to go to a regular doctor appointment or, the mm-hmm. dentist or whatever else. And coming into this race, I know that it's going to be a lot of work, but it's not my first rodeo. I know that I can do the work, and I know that I've got the skills to be able to serve northern Wisconsin very well. And even under, in the minority party, I guess, there are still lots of opportunities to find common ground and do really high quality constituent services. There's so much that you can do for a community that you care about. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
How do you follow that up, Laura?
You're muted.
Oh, yeah. You got to unmute, Laura.
I am so this is my first time running for this large of an office, and I'm always in awe of Kelly's intelligence, and I just think it's like night or day, you know. And when I'm at the doors, I tell people, if someone was applying for a job and you owned a business and you looked at the experience of both people, their CVs, their resumes, clear choices are here of people who have done community work, have worked on behalf of others and not just themselves. And so thank you, Kelly. It's just really been an honor to run alongside you. We're knocking doors for each other, empowering each other versus tearing each other down, or even the opponents. Like, when I'm at the doors, I'm not saying these people are bad. I'm saying me and Kelly and the rest of the Democratic ticket are very skilled, qualified folks that are going to do a good job representing you. My passion for running is around community safety, and that's a big, large umbrella. People are talking about crime, primarily mental health and addiction issues in the 73rd district. And I've talked about this numerous times, but one of the you know, most impactful experiences I've had running for office is doing ride-alongs with the Burnett County Sheriff's Department, the Douglas County Sheriff's Department, and this Saturday I'll be with the Superior Police Department. Now, I've done ride-alongs before because I've worked alongside law enforcement my entire professional career, working with domestic violence survivors, children who have experienced abuse, particularly sexual abuse in the last 8 years. And so that work has been alongside law enforcement, and I've always wanted to see what their experiences were like. But one of the calls that, like I said, I'll never forget is responding to an OD, an overdose of fentanyl. And that was, you know, seeing these family members in crisis. They had actually just lost another family member, watching a helicopter fly in because the ambulance services in the southern part of the district are not adequate. They're not able to respond quick enough to save someone's life. And it doesn't mean they're doing a bad job. It means that we don't have the funding. We don't have the housing that we need for community safety. I'm also serving on my school board in my second term. I'm wrapping that up in April. That's been something where I've also seen the inequity of funding. And I was just on my CESA board meeting last night, which is a cooperative of 17 rural school districts, and then Superior, which is the largest school district in there. And the funding, the referendums that people are talking about, people want taxes cut. But I'll tell you, if we're not funding our public schools, and we have that surplus, so it doesn't have to go on the taxpayers, these referendums are going to be costing our taxpayers down the road. So people want to say they're going to cut taxes. They're going to pay for it with a referendum, because we need to invest in our students. We need to invest in mental health, and we need to invest in attacking this epidemic of addiction.
So Laura, I'm so glad that you're talking about all the positive things that you want to do, and Kelly is talking about the positive things that she wants to do. This is what campaigns should be about. You also said, you know, Kelly's got a lot more experience than you. Obviously, you have wonderful experience in the things that you've put your mind to, being a part of the school board and trying to help people, it seems like, across in so many different ways. What you didn't mention, and what it's up to us to mention, because you're a positive person, is that your opponent is the Marjorie Taylor Greene of Wisconsin. I mean,
don't compliment her like that. I think that's what she wants.
Well,
I'm serious. Like, I think that's her hero. That's a compliment to her. It is frightening, but you are right. But I'm not giving her that credit.
No, and so. By the way, I don't give credit to anybody when I call them Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think that might be the most repulsive politician I've ever come across in my entire life, other than Donald Trump.
Probably. But you've got examples of why she's getting that reputation.
Yeah, so the reason I mention that is because this woman who is running against you scrubbed. She is everything that, you know, that we are worried about, at least I am worried about in our state of our politics. She's tweeted things that before she started running, And there's different segments. She was completely for the violence that happened on January 6th, to the tune of her saying, you know, about January 6th, it's about time Republicans stood for their rights, when she was hashtag DC riots, hashtag I'm with you. You know, she liked watching what was happening. She said on political violence, she said, lock them. Remember the people that were shooting, those people from Missouri that like took their machine guns out when there was like a George Floyd riot or something. And she said, instead of like them, she couldn't even hold her gun right, that one woman. I think she's running for office right now.
I think they've both been drinking at the time too.
Yes, they have.
And Angie, her name is Angie Sapik, and she said they should have started blasting. You know, she said they should have actually shot those protesters in the neighborhood. And then finally, you know, I feel the word racism is tossed around. I mean, there's been so much racism in the election against Mandela Barnes. The racist ads used to paint him as like some inner city black thug to scare white people, you know, into not voting for him. But there, I mean, I say it's like we hear the word racist all the time, but it's because we're seeing it all the time. But just in Angie's tweet about. It's called Angie's Tweets. It's this Facebook or this page that's collected everything. She comments about the Twin Cities during the George Floyd riots, looking like Trump said, "My gosh, this looks like Somalia out there," which is, you know, obviously a racist thing. And she retweeted that, you know, and saying, "Way to go, Donald Trump, for doing that." So you're saying you might not have, you know, been in Tammy Baldwin's staff for the last 7 years, but you are running for office for all the right reasons. But your opponent is dangerous for Wisconsin. So not only should we vote for you because you care about your community, but we have to vote for you because we can't elect this other woman in office. We just can't do it in Wisconsin. And that's not what Wisconsin stands for. What do you have to say, Laura?
I have to say it is frightening. I realized when I heard she was running, I really didn't know who she was at all. And so I searched, you know, Facebook, deleted, Twitter, deleted, TikTok, like everything. She just didn't even scrub. She got rid of it. And then all of a sudden she rebuilt. Like everyone's like telling me, like, I'm getting these Facebook invites. So then she tried to cover up by like inviting thousands of people to like her new Facebook page that she created to have like a facade. And the thing is, she will not debate. She will not respond to inquiries for interviews. She only does things in writing. She is a shell for the GOP. And I have concerns. If you cannot represent and talk to people about your stance in your own district, you can't be a voice here. You are being a shell. Because you have probably ghostwriters, honestly, in my opinion, and that's how the GOP is running right now, real dirty, and these attack ads. How is she going to be a voice in Madison? And even more scary is she's standing alongside Romaine Quinn, Tom Tiffany. They are buddied up, and they have not said, these are not my views. And that is just as frightening to me, that these people could even possibly be considered as serious candidates when they endorse violence against our law enforcement at the Capitol, where people died,
so
where
Kelly,
they endorse that.
Kelly, let's bring this home by saying, as you continue to campaign and Laura continues to campaign, and there is this streak of ugliness that condones violence and such, but I think we all know better, that there are still plenty of voters out there who want decent, caring people in office. Do you feel like you're having success reaching them and can continue to do so for 20 more days?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'll just say one of the things that I've noticed about, you know, what Laura's saying here with our opponents not being willing to say what they think in public spaces or be accountable to questions from potential constituents, they are really trying to kind of appear to be left of where they actually are. They're lying to people about their views so that they can kind of fool them into saying, oh, I'm a moderate. They're not. And when we're out talking to folks on the doors and having those one-on-one conversations with voters, I got to tell you, you know, everybody tells me that Burnett County, Barron County, those places are too red. There's no way you're going to make inroads. But every single time I knock doors, and I've knocked thousands at this point, people are beyond Trump's Republican Party. People are beyond this nonsense. They just want government that works. And right now, the Republican legislature in Wisconsin hasn't met since the first week of March. No plans to meet until after the election, which means they're not actually doing the work.
Right. And you are. And you're so willing to. Kelly Westland, Lord Gapsky, thank you for visiting with us. It was great. And wish you all the best.
It was an honor. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll wrap up this hour right after this. You're up north.
So that was Top Gun theme song. The reason I wanted to play that is because every time I think about giving it your all, I think about that scene in Top Gun where they're just like, it's like all or nothing. And so I just wanted to get us back into some semblance of where we are in Wisconsin and like the inflection point in Wisconsin that we're dealing with. So we have in Wisconsin, if we lose, if Governor Evers loses and we lose his ability to veto, I think that we will go back to a place in time that Wisconsin was barely a state. And the reason I say that was I think about Robert La Follette, who's been the most effective and famous politician in the history of Wisconsin. He started coming of age in 1850, and 1850 was a time, and he was a Republican. But 1850 was a time where we had the only people in Wisconsin were either people who were were lumber barons, like who were a gazillion dollars. They lived in Wausau, to tell you the truth. They fur trader barons, because fur, lumber, and railroads, and potentially a few other things were everything that Wisconsin kind of had in terms of commerce. And those people, there were very few of them, and they all were gazillionaires, whatever that meant in 1850, and everybody else was broke. We didn't have public schools back then. We had zero health care back then. I mean, nobody had anything. And Robert La Follette, when he recognized it, his party was basically for, you know, it had been corrupted because of all of these barons, lumber barons, fur barons had been able to buy elections, that like the inequality between those that had and the have-nots was huge. He left the Republican Party and he started the Progressive Party of Wisconsin, and he fought to bring the middle class up. And that is what I'm afraid that we will go back to if the millions of dollars that are trying to get shell candidates like Angie, who's going against Lori, who won't debate, are elected. We're at the inflection point where that could happen again in Wisconsin, and I'm worried about it. And so, guys, what's at stake here? Who has to care about this in Wisconsin?
This seems like a good time to mention that today is the deadline if you want to register to vote online. If you have a Wisconsin state ID, if you have a driver's license or a state-issued ID card, you don't have to wait till election day. You can go to elections.wy.gov and you can register through today. If you don't get registered by today, you can still go to your local clerk's office right up until a couple of days before the election, and then, of course, you can register there. Values. That means that, yes, not thinking of things so much that are transitory, you know, inflation comes and goes. Some of the other things in political commercials come and go. But when you lose a right, you know, when you lose a part of your liberty, that's a mighty tough thing to get back. If you're, you know, in a group that is looking forward to Medicare and Social Security, you might want to vote for that. Because if, you know, Ron Johnson gets his way, and that's up to the whims of Congress every year, that's going to take us back again to a time when people were destitute in their old age.
It's true. And I don't think that we are explaining the Social Security issue well enough. I mean, Social Security is not a discretionary item in the federal budget right now. It is a block of dollars every year that is necessary. It's not negotiable. But what Ron Johnson wants to do is make it discretionary so that they can cut it. And that means the cuts to people who are receiving their Social Security benefits, people who have been paying into the system their entire lives, people who are relying on this money. Ron Johnson wants to take that away.
But he covers it by saying there's so much other wasteful spending, and we've got to attack the wasteful spending. But like I've said many a time to people, you have to understand, you're the waste they want to cut. And they go, oh, no, there's somebody else. Somebody else is wasting money. Like, no. it's you. Yeah. It's your neighborhood school that, you know, that they want to cut. It's your health insurance coverage that they want to cut. It's even if you're making minimum wage, they want to cut that. The waste is anybody who's not, you know, the Elines or the Koch brothers or Diane Hendricks or John Menard or any of these folks who are pouring millions of dollars in, because for them it's an investment, much like the lumber barons and the railroad barons and the other robber barons, you know, basically bought government back in the day. That is truly the era that we're living in right now. And what's going to have to happen is not only for Democrats to step up and fight harder, or for independents to step up and fight harder, but what we're seeing right now, and that is Republicans saying, much like Bob La Falla did, I don't even know this party anymore. Mm-hmm. It's time to do something different. And that's among the things that people can do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, senior citizens have to vote like their lives depend on it, because they do. You're going to lose your Social Security. Women have to vote like their lives depend on it, because you've already lost a lot of rights. You already become second-class citizens in Wisconsin. Parents have to vote like their kids' lives depend on it, because they do. Because without public schools, without a good education, you're going to grow up and you're not going to be able to have earning potential. I mean, everybody in Wisconsin has to vote like their lives depend on it. And you know, and it's up to us to just kind of raise the red flag. Like, there's no tomorrow after November 8th in my own mind. I mean, there is a tomorrow, but holy cow, it's going to get dark in Wisconsin if we don't elect the right people on November 8th.
It does. And again, we hear a lot, is this, you know, just hyperbole? And again, I know I keep coming back to Roe v. Wade being repealed, but it is, because it is our real life example of how every election matters. And when I say that, even though as important as this election is, I've said before and I'll say again, unfortunately, there's going to be very little time to catch our breath, no matter how November 8th turns out, before we turn right around and take a look at the April election for state Supreme Court, for that open seat that's going to determine if our state Supreme Court is still controlled by four conservative justices who can, again, take away your drop boxes where you put your ballot and raise other obstacles to voting, and maybe even in the next presidential election, rig it. Mm-hmm. It is entirely possible, and goodness only knows what else they will do in the area of women's health rights.
Yeah, and so many of us feel disenfranchised. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have any options. We are just victims to the system, and there's nothing we can do about it.
But there is, and that's there. That's where we have to take it, and that's where we're going to close out, that there are things you can do. It's just that it can't be only listening to the radio. You got to go out and do something about it. But we're glad you listened to the radio for a little while. You might have even listened for 3 hours, and God love you if you did.
Let's hope you got past the first hour, because we didn't know what the heck was going on.
Not enough coffee in the world.
It was coffee. They were loving. My wife's egg bake is amazing. And
oh my gosh.
There's still a plate of donuts behind us. You can probably see that we have to tear into next. So thanks for coming out to the house, guest.
Thanks so much for having
us. So fun. It was a
fun little slumber party. We might subject you to this again. You just never know. Have a great day. See you Thursday.